All right, Shavuot say good morning. Let's begin. A lot to do today. All right, so today's daf is Mem Vav, although it doesn't feel like it. We're picking up on daf Mem Hei Amud Beis, 45b. So today's daf is 46. We're picking up 45b. And we're picking up a Bosei and the Ein Yerushalayim. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 17 lines up from the bottom. But it's okay. It's going to... I'm sorry?
Fourth wide line.
Our fourth wide line. That is true also. Okay, good. So it says, Digimar, and Yushalayim avi egla rufa. And Yushalayim, again, I just saw the Mishnah yesterday, does not bring an egla rufa. The Amakra, because the Pasuk says, Lurishta, when describing ultimately, again, a city in which this could occur. So the Torah says, Lurishta, literally a city in which you will inherit. V'kasavar Yushalayim lo neschal kol shvatim. And the opinion of this Mishnah holds that Yushalayim was not divided up among the tribes. So also remember again, the Mishnah discussed the idea that if you find the person's head in one place and the body in a different place. So there was a machlokis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer said we bring the head to the body. In other words, we assume that the body is the place where the person actually died. And Rabbi Akiva said we bring the body to the head. So it says the Gemara, what are they arguing about? If you want to say that they're arguing about how to measure, so also the fact that the end of the Mishnah discusses from which part of the body do we measure indicates that this first part of the Mishnah is not having a machlokus about where you measure from. So what are they measuring? So the Gemara says, rather again, v'hachi kamar, v'kavro, We'll say what they are arguing about is with the din of meis mitzvah. Meis mitzvah, remember, is someone who dies without someone to bury him. So ultimately, again, the halacha is that a meis mitzvah is kona makoma, which means that a meis mitzvah acquires the place in which it is lying for the purposes of burial. Fachi kamar, this is what the machlokes is. L'kovro kona makoma. So remember, again, everyone agrees that a meis mitzvah, wherever you find him, that's where you have the right to bury him. V'heichad dinimtza rosho b'makom echad. But in a situation where you find his head in one place and his body in a different place, then you go ahead and you take the head to the body. These are the words of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Haguf Eitzel Harosh. Rabbi Akiva ultimately says that no, you bring the body to the head. So we'll say, essentially the Gemara is saying over here is their machlokis is machlokis in this mitzvah. Everyone agrees that wherever a meis mitzvah is found, that's where you have the right to bury that individual. The shaila is what? The shaila is what if you find the head and the body in two different places, which place has been acquired for burial? So says Rabbi Eliezer, the area where the body's found, that's ultimately, again, the body that's been acquired for burial. Therefore, you bring the head there. Rabbi Kiva says, no, the area where the head is found, that's where ultimately you go ahead and is acquired for burial, and you bury him there. So the Gemara says, "B'maykam efegi." So what's that at the root of their machlokas? Mar saver gufei beduchtei nafil reisha dinadi v'nafil. So we'll say. So again, one opinion holds, and this is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, that where the body is, that's where the person really died, and the head must have rolled after being decapitated. Umar saver reisha heicha dinafil nafil gufa hu dura et azil. The other opinion, named Rabbi Akiva, holds that lemaisa again. That wherever the head is, that's where the person died. And it was the body that kept rolling afterwards. So also, just so you should know, the Rambam Paskin is like Rabbi Akiva. Namely, again, that wherever the head is found, that's where we consider to be the primary, we'll call it, place of death. Which means that for a meis mitzvah, we would bury them where the head is found and we move the body to the head. Me'ayin hayu modedin. So we'll say, remember, which part of the body, from which part of the body do we measure? To the nearest city. So also remember again, we have two opinions in the Mishnah. The first opinion, Rabbi Eliezer said, Mitiburo, from his stomach, from his navel. Rabbi Akiva said, Mechotmo, from his nose. So the Gemara says, what are they arguing about? So one opinion says that the Ikechius, right, the major source of life is what Rabbi says, is the nose, respiration. Umar Savar Ikechius Bitibure. And others say the ikar source of life really is where? Is actually from the navel, from the stomach, digestion. And without digestion, there's no life. So the Gemara says, so maybe they're arguing, from where is a child, a baby in utero formed? So may Rosho. So the first opinion says the first part that's formed in the child is the head. V'chinu Omer mimei imi ata gozi v'Omer gozi nezirech v'ashlichi. Abba Shol says no mitiburo. The child is first formed again from the navel, from the middle, and everything kind of extends from there. To which the Gemara says, "Afilu tema abashol at kan lo kamer abashol el in yitzira dechi mitzar vlad b'mitziase mitzar." Plus, you could even say the Mishnah refers to be abashol. How so? Even abashol is only talking about again the actual formation of the child. The mice again at the end of the day. That I'm sure about where the child is created from. So we'll say it's very nice if Abishol wants to hold that a child is first formed from the middle, but everyone agrees that when it comes to life, life ultimately again is from the nostrils, and therefore again, meaning breathing, therefore again, when you go out and you measure to the closest city, you'll measure from the nostrils. So the Gemara goes right through. Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Mokom Shenase Chala Mitzavaro. Rabbi Eliezer says that you go ahead and you measure from the neck. That's the place where the person is killed. And therefore, because we're assuming, remember, that a person is killed, we established yesterday, with a metal object. And the assumption is, again, that his neck, his throat is being slit. He's being killed in the neck. So the Gemara says, so you therefore you should count, measure from the neck. My time, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Kidichsev. Because over here the Gemara quotes from the pasuk from Yechezkel. So you see over here when it talks about a chalal, chalal means a dead body, and remember that's the same lashon used by Egla Arufa. So the lashon that's used is savar, is neck. And therefore, the mice again, when measuring from the corpse to the nearest city, we measure from the neck. Says the Mishnah. So let's remember, we established yesterday that five members of the great Sanhedrin, five members of the high court, make their way down to this place, and they help with the process, the initial process of Egla Rufa. So after the, now what they really do is they're responsible for the measuring. So once we've established the closest city, so what happens? Niftiru Zikni Yerushalayim v'Halchulahen. The elders of Jerusalem leave. Zikni Osair Mavin Eglas Bakar Shalom Ashach Ta'ol. So the elders of the closest city, they bring a calf that has never pulled the yoke, not done any work. And again, but there's no problem if it has a mum. Meaning again, blemishes do not disqualify an egla arufa. So if it has some kind of blemish that would normally disqualify it from sacrificial service, such a blemish does not disqualify it from being an egla arufa. Umoridin osel nachal eson, and they bring it down to literally nachal eson. What's nachal eson? Eson kamashma'o kasha. So the Mishnah says eson means literally it's a hard valley. The idea over here is it's land, stony. It's land that's never been worked. But the truth is, even if they did this process in an area that's not stony, it's still kosher. They break the neck of the animal from behind with an axe. And you're never allowed to work that land over which the calf was decapitated. But what you can do is, you can go ahead and you could comb flax and you could remove stones. The idea, Rashi points out, these are just examples. The idea is you could do work there, you just can't work the land. So if you want to bring your work there, you want to bring your flax to comb it there, that's absolutely fine. You just can't go ahead and actively work the land itself. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Mishnah goes weiter. Zikni osa irochtnes demamai mokom arifa shal eglo. So the elders of that city come and they wash their hands on that place where the calf was decapitated, and they say, our hands did not spill this blood, and our eyes did not see what happened here. So do we think for a second that the elders of the city could possibly be responsible for shedding blood? Rather, what they're saying is, we never saw this individual. It's not like he came into our town and we let him go without feeding him, or we saw him and we let him go without offering him hospitality. So what they're saying is, literally, we've never seen this individual before, and therefore, again, we're not responsible for not treating him appropriately. Top of Membav. And the Kohanim say, please atone for your nation, Israel, that you redeemed, and do not allow innocent blood to be shidduch in the midst of your people. Lo hayutzvich lomor mechaper lahem adam. The Kohanim did not have to say that last phrase of the pasuk, which is, and let the blood atone for them. But rather, again, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he originally said this pasuk, was saying it al Racha Kodesh. So Racha Kodesh, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving them a message. What was the message? A Masai Sheta'asu Kacha Adam Miskaper Lohem. The message was that when they go ahead and they do this process with the Egla Arufa, ultimately Kapara, atonement, will then be theirs. So says the Gemara, V'yehei Mum Posel Be'egla Mikav V'chomer. Remember, so the Mishnah said that what? That a mum, a blemish, does not disqualify Egla Arufa. So the Gemara says, well, let a blemish disqualify Egla Arufa. From a Kav V'chomer, what's the Kav V'chomer? Uma Para She'in Hashan Poslos Ba Mum Posaba. So when it comes to the Para Aduma, where again I will say there's no age disqualification at Para Aduma, but yet a mum does go ahead and invalidate Egla Sheshanin Poslos Ba Eino Din She Mum Posaba. We'll say when it comes to Egla Arufa must be 1 year old. Can't be more than a year. So if Egla Arufa years disqualify, then I would say certainly a mum should disqualify as well. Shiny Hasam Da Amar Kra Asher Ein Ba Mum. Therefore, the Gemara says this is different because the pasuk says there is no mum. Mum ein ba. Excuse me. Shain ba mum. Mum ba. I'm sorry. Ashain ba mum. Ba mum posel. So again, a mum only invalidates by the para aduma. Ve'im mum posel be'egla. But a mum will not invalidate by egla arufa. Ela me'atalo yuhu shar avodos psulos ba. But if that's the case, then other types of avoda should also not disqualify a para aduma. Alama amarav yehuda amarav hiniach alea odosh shel sakin psula. We'll say if you went ahead and on a para aduma, if you placed a bundle of sacks on top of the para aduma, psula, ultimately again it invalidates the animal from being used. Ube egla ad shetimshach, where the egla arufa, the animal is only disqualified when the animal actually pulls a load. So shiny para, so para aduma is different. The alfinan all me egla, because we learn out exer shavav all from egla. To which the Gemara says agla nami tisi all mi para. So egla, we should also not exer shavav all from para. Hamit rachmana ba. No, but there it's different because the Torah uses the exclusionary word of ba. Be'egla nami ksiv ba. Baba egla also uses the word ba. Ha'umi ba'ile. The mi'ute kachim. Oh, that comes to exclude kachim, sacrificial animals. De la pasla behu avoda. Where work does not invalidate those animals. Sagadait chamin alesi be'kav v'chomer me'egla. Because otherwise, that's an exclusionary phrase. I would have learned there from a kav v'chomer from egla rufa. What's the kav v'chomer? Uma egla she'in ba mum posel ba. Excuse me. Uma egla she'in mum posel ba. Avoda poselas ba. So when it comes to egla arufa, where what? Where a mum does not invalidate it, but yet avoda does. Kodshim, when it comes to sacrificial items, shemum poselas bahem, where a mum does invalidate, eno din shavoda poselas bahem. All the more so again that avoda will disqualify it. Therefore, again, the Gemara says ikel mifrach, but you could ask a kasha, madla egla shekin shanim poslos. So when it comes to egla arufa, where years, age disqualifies, over a year, you can't use it. Atu kodshim, so the Gemara says, I'm sorry, so therefore you see Egla Arufa has a different chumrah, to which the Gemara says, 1 second, Atu kodshim, mi leka de pasli b'hubashanim, are you saying that by kodshim, there is not a concept ultimately that years will disqualify? Ki itzrich kra lahani kodshim de pasli, because we'll say, you know, we have that concept also, that for example, Rashi brings down a Karban Pesach. So Karban Pesach, again, can only be offered within the first year. So you have the concept of a year limit within other kabbalas as well. Atu kachim mi leka de pasli b'ushanim ki istirich kra lahanach kachim de pasli b'ushanim the kachim lo paslu b'avoda meha. So the Gemara says the following. Therefore, you need the pasli to you need this limud to teach us by sacrificial items that do not have an age disqualification. So the Gemara says the kachim lo paslu b'avoda meha kanafka. Now, are you telling me again that by kachim, that the fact that work does not disqualify them, that we learn that from here? I thought mehasam nafka, we learned it from here. Oro veres o shavra o charos o yabelas o garav o yalefes. Well, see, these are all different types of mumim, right? These are all different types of blemishes. So, if the animal has any one of these blemishes, lo sakrivu eila la Hashem, you may not offer these up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to which the Gemara Darshan says eila iata makriv. You can't offer these. Aval ata makriv kodshim shenevda bahen avoda. But you can offer sacrificial items that were worked, that were used for work. To which the Gemara says, "It's tzrich sakadai tamina harini leheicha David bar Navodas heter." So it says, "I would have thought the following: that I would have thought that when doesn't avoda passel the animal when you did what's called avodas heter, permissible work." However, again, we'll see what that means in just a moment. Aval avodas isra ima litzru. But I would have thought that again, if it did prohibited work. So Rashi says, "What's the example of prohibited work? The animal worked on Shabbos." So I don't know if the animal worked on Shabbos, or if the animal, let's say, worked with another prohibited pair, I would have thought that perhaps that disqualifies it from sacrificial service. So therefore, tzricha. Therefore, the limud is necessary to teach me that both permitted avoda as well as prohibited avoda does not go ahead and prohibit a sacrificial animal. V'hana mi me'acha nafka, but we learn that out from here. Umiyad ben necher lo sakrivu es lechem elokechem mikol eila. Yet the pasuk says, again, this is talking about the fact that, remember, a non-Jew could offer up a carbon as well. Right? Can send the carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, but that animal can't be blemished. So the laws of blemishes apply equally to Jew and Gentile sacrifice. That's the pasuk is saying over here. Eila iata makriv, alata makriv, kachu shedem davan avoda. So you can't offer a blemished animal, we learn from this pasuk, but you can offer an animal that was used for work. It's derech sakadait chamina harimi liheicha David Kohen kishen chulin. So I might have thought the only issue is when the Kohen did the, is when the avodu was done with it, not Kohen, but Bahen. Harimi li David Bahen kishen chulin. Aval avid Bahen kishen kachim ema lissuru. See, I might have thought when doesn't avodu disqualify? Avodu doesn't disqualify when you work the animal before it was consecrated. But if the animal was already worked once it was consecrated, that perhaps that should disqualify. Therefore, tzricha. Therefore, Rabbi said, the limud is necessary to teach me that work does not disqualify a sacrificial animal. Rabbi said, just so you should know, that is halacha lemaisa. That again, work will disqualify a paraduma. Work does not disqualify an egla agufa. And work does not disqualify sacrificial animals. Very important idea. Gufa. Remember, we said before that if you go in and you place a bundle of sacks, third wide line, Mem Vav Amud Aleph, 46a. If you place a bundle of sacks on top of the Parah Aduma, so Psula, the halacha is you've invalidated the animal, Ube Egla, Achet Timshoch. But by Egla Arufa, you are not Chayiv, meaning you don't disqualify the animal until when? I'm sorry, I said that wrong, by the way. Work does disqualify an Egla Arufa. I'm sorry. So work disqualifies an Egla Arufa, a para aduma, but does not disqualify sacrificial animals. So if you just place a bundle of sacks on top of a para aduma, disqualifies it. But by egla rufa, achin tibshok, it has to pull a load in order for it to be disqualified. Meisve all inli ela all sharav all this minayis. The pasuk only tells me that it can't have pulled an all or yoke. But how do I know that even other types of work disqualify the animal? Amrit kavachomer. Uma egla she'ein mum posel sharav odos posel spa. But when it comes to egla arufa, that a mum does not disqualify it, yet other types of avoda do. Para she'mum posel ba inu din she'sharav odos posel spa. Then para aduma, where a mum does not disqualify it, para aduma where a mum does disqualify it, certainly other avodos will disqualify it as well. And if you want to say ne'emar kan ol v'ne'emar lehalon ol, it says all here and it says all there lehalon sharavodos. Just like over there, it refers to all types of labor, and therefore poslos ba invalidated. Afkan shar avodos poslos. So too over here, it teaches us that other types of avoda will invalidate the animal. Aye, so the Gemara says my nafshech alomar. What does it mean when it says if you want to say v'chite ma ikal mifrach? Maybe you'll say that there's a pircha mala egla shekin shanim poslos ba. Egla Rufa is different, maybe because there's an age limit. Yet on the other hand, you could bring up the example of sacrificial animals where what? Where a mum, a blemish, will disqualify, but work does not. So then the Gemara says, Ne'emar kan ol, v'ne'emar la'alon hol. Therefore, again, the Gemara says, make a gzir shava. It says all in both places. Ma la'alon sharavodos, just like over there. All is just an example, but it comes to include all different types of labor. Afkan shar ha'avodo. So to over here, it refers to other types of avodo. Umimakom shebasa, but we can bring this back to where we started. Ma lahalon achetimshoch, afkan achetimshoch. Just like over there again, the animal is only disqualified once it pulls a load. So too, that should be the same thing over here. To which the Gemara says, Tanahi, Tzimachlokes Tanahim, Di'ike de Maisila me Egla, Di'ike de Maisila me Gufa de Para. So we'll say there are some who bring this original law from Egla, and others who bring it ultimately again from Paraduma. Disanya, all, aim the Ella all, I only know a yoke, Sharavodos, I don't know the other types of Avoda, also disqualify the animal. Tamid lomar asher lo aleha ol mikomakom. Im kein matan lomar ol. So if ol is not specific, but ol refers to all types of labor, then why does the Torah single out ol? To which the Gemara says, ol posel be mishas avodah be mishlo mishas avodah shar avodos in posos ela mishas avodah. This is very interesting. We'll say that ol, if the animal wears a yoke, so that yoke will disqualify the animal as if it has worked, whether it's done work or not. Other types of labor only disqualify the animal when the animal actually does the work. The ima asher lo aleha ol klal pra, excuse me, ol the ima lo aleha klal, say that the phrase that nothing came on top of it is a general statement. The klal ol prat, and the yoke is a prat, the specific statement. The Gemara says uprat in bechlal. I'm sorry, klal uprat. Therefore, again, this becomes a klal and a prat. And in bechlal alamashe beprat. And once we never have a klal uprat, we assume that the klal is defined by the prat. All in midiachrin alo. Maybe comes to teach us that what? That this halacha only applies to a yoke, but not to anything else. To which the Gemara says, asher ribuyahu. The word asher is ultimately a ribuy, an inclusionary phrase. V'tan yinami, eglo kiay gavna, all in mi ela all. Sharav all this. I've also had the same discussion about Egla Rufa as well. It says all. I only know all. What about other types of labor? Tamalomer v'asher asher lo ubad ba mikamakom. Therefore, the pasuk uses the lashon of asher lo ubad ba. The animal has not been worked, and that includes all forms of work. Imke ma tamalomer all. Then why does it single out all? All posel bein b'shas avoda bein mishlo b'shas avoda sharav odos in poselos ela b'shas avoda. Just like we said before, because an ol will disqualify automatically. Other avodos only disqualify when, right, when you're actually doing it. Ve'imok o asher lo a'ubad ba'klal, ol prat, klalu prat ve'im b'chlal elamashe be'prat, ol in midiach rinilo. So we'll say, same argument as you said before. Why don't you say that asher lo Allah aleha. I'm saying that. So that's a klal. Ol is a prat. And therefore, again, the klal only has in it what the prat is. So again, maybe it only refers to an ol, to which the Gemara says, you're right, asher ribuyu, but the word asher ultimately is a ribuy. Amr Rabbi Avo, Boi Rabbi Yaakov Shmei, Amr Rabbi Avo, Boi Minim Rabbi Yochanan, Mishichas ol bekamo. So we'll say, how much does the animal actually have to be Moshech the ol by the Egla Arufa in order to go ahead and cause that the animal has worked? This is according to the opinion who holds that in order for the ol to go ahead and invalidate the animal actually has to do work. Remember, the opinion we just saw is simply wearing the ol, by definition, is enough to disqualify the animal. But if you assume it has to do work, how much does it have to pull the yoke in order to disqualify the animal? Amrle kimalo ol. It has to pull it the length of an ol. So yibay lehu, la'arko l'rachbo. It has to pull it, meaning I should say, it has to pull it an ol's amount. So is that measured by the width of the ol or the length of the ol? So we learned that what you have to bring the ol, you have to pull the ol, a width of an ol, which is one tefach. If the animal pulls the ol one tefach, that's enough. Lema tefach. Why don't you just say a tefach? Then why do you have to get into the width of an ol? Kamash malon shiur the ol tefach havi. To teach us that the width of an ol is one tefach. So the Marcel Mainaf Kabina, who cares? I'll tell you why we care. Lebeka Hubevkar. It matters for business purposes. Well, so you've seen this before, that sometimes, again, when dealing with business transactions, people are sometimes non-specific because there's an industry standard. Whenever there's an industry standard, if you are non-specific, you have a right to expect the industry standard in your transactions. Therefore, if I buy an ol from someone and it turns out that the ol is only half a tefach thick, I can void the sale because I could say industry standard is what? That an ol is one tefach. If you sell me something else that's defective merchandise, the sale is off. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul mitnema Amar Torah hevi egla benachal. Why does the Torah say to bring the egla arufa in this nachal? In literally, we'll say nachal is literally like a stream. It's a dry riverbed, an area that can't be farmed. Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu yavi davar shlo asaperos v'yarei b'makom she'eino seperos v'chapra mishlo hiniach lasas peros. God says, let them bring something that did not yet produce fruit, referring to the fact that the egla, the calf, is very young and therefore did not yet have children, and let it be decapitated in a place that does not produce any vegetation or produce, and let it atone for someone who did not have the opportunity to produce peros. So the Gemara says, my peros, so what does it mean, fruit? If you want to say that we're coming to atone for a person because he didn't yet have children, so makes it sound like we're coming to atone for the person who didn't have the chance to create offspring for himself. What if the person did have children? Or what if the person was very old and couldn't father children anymore? Or what if, again, he was unable physically to have children, so he wouldn't do the egla rufa? Ela mitzvos. So rather, a very beautiful Gemara that peros refer to over here, the greatest peros we have in life, which are the mitzvos we perform. So the idea over here is we recognize this individual had so much to contribute, had so much to give, and yet he never again will produce any peros in this world. Therefore, the form of his atonement is to slaughter something that did not yet have the opportunity to produce peros in a place that does not produce peros. And this will go ahead and atone for the person who did not have the opportunity to fully produce his peros, to fully produce his fruit, which refers to his mitzvos. Umaridin osa al nachal eisan. Eisan kamashal kasha. We take the calf to the nachal eisan, and eisan means, like we said before, that it's hard, meaning that the soil is hard. So the Gemara says, Tana abana minayla eisan shu kasha. How do you know what the word eisan means hard? To which the Gemara says, eisan moshavecha v'sim b'salakanecha. Because over here it quotes the pasuk. Quotes the pasuk from Bamidbar, Eisan Moshavecha, strong is your dwelling, Vesim Basala Kanecha, place your nest in the storm. Omer Shimu Harim Esriv, Shimu Harim Esriv Hashem, Vaisanim Mos Te'aretz. Achir Moram Minayim Eisan Shu Yashan. So we'll say, so again, that's the first opinion, that Eisan means strong. Others say that Eisan means old. Shene Emar, Goy Eisan Hu, Goy Me'olam Hu. We are referred to as a Goy Eisan, an old nation. Goy Me'olam, we are an eternal nation. Says, we decapitate the calf with an axe from behind. My time, what's the reason? Gamar arifa arifa mechata sofer. So we learn of arifa arifa from chata sofer. Remember, chata sof is the animal that is the carbon that the Kohen slaughters with malika, right, with the back of the neck. So just like, again, chata sof, which is called arifa, is done from the back of the neck, so too, again, egla arifa is also done from the back of the neck. And you can't go ahead and plant anything in that place. Tan Rabbanon, Asher, the pasuk says, Asher lo ye oved bo. So literally, a place that you will not work in. Velo yizareya. So you may not go ahead and work there, work the land, or to plant it. So the Gemara says, L'sha'avar to Rabbi Yoshia. This refers to the fact that not only can you not plant it going forward, but what? You can only do egla rufa in a place that was never previously worked as well. Rabbi Yonasan Omer Lahabal. Rabbi Yonasan says, no, we don't care if it's been worked in the past. What we care about is what? Nothing will be planted here going forward. Rava Omer Lahabal. Rava says, for the future, Duchuli Avalo Pligi, Dechsevalo Yizareya. So Moses Rava says, everyone agrees that going forward, you can't work this land. Ki Pligi, so where do they argue? Lisha Avar. In the past, Rabbi Yonasan, Rabbi Yoshia Savar, Miksevalo Yuubad. Rabbi Yonasan, Miksev Asherlo Ne'avad. So we'll say again, Rabbi Yoshia says, so the machlokes ultimately is that Lamaisa, again, everyone will agree you can't go ahead and work the field going forward. The shaila is, can you use a field or not? Can you use an area that was worked in the past? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yoshia Amar L'sha'avar Mashma, Rabbi Yoshia says ultimately that Lashon L'Pasuk also infers not just for the future, but also for the past. Rabbi Yonasan Asher Ribuya. Rabbi Yonasan says that the word Asher ultimately again represents this Ribuya. You can go in and comb flax there and to remove stones from there. Tan Rabbanan Asher Lo Ye Aved Bo Velo Yizareya. Amy Elazria. It only teaches me that I can't plant in this area. Shara Vodos Minai. I don't know that I can't do other Avodos. Sigmar says, Tamulom Asher Lo Ye Aved Bo Mikom Makom. I can't do anything with the land. If that's the case, that Asher lo ye aved means that I can't do any kind of work, why do I need the phrase velo yizareya, that I can't plant there? To which to teach you that the only prohibition is to do something with the actual land itself. But again, but yatsa srikas pishtan v'nikra banam shen b'gufa shal karka. But I will say, essentially, I could comb my flax, or for that matter, do anything else that does not actively involve working with the land. Ve'ima asher lo ye aved bo klal. We'll say, why don't they say that the phrase asher lo ye aved bo, that the land is not worked, is a cause of general principle. Ve'lo yizareya prat, the phrase, you shall not seed it, is a prat. Klalu prat, you have a klalu prat, in v'klal alam asher v'prat. And I will say, why don't I say that there's nothing in the klal is defined by what's in the prat, And therefore, again, Zriya in, midyachrini lo. And maybe I'll say the only thing prohibited is just planting, but anything else I want to do with the land, I could do. Therefore, the pasuk, therefore the Gemara says, Asher ribuyuhu. Asher comes to include all other forms of working with the land that are prohibited. So the elders of the city member come and wash their hands over the spot where the calf was decapitated. Remember, the pasuk says the elders of the city that are closest to the body will come and wash their hands over the decapitated calf. So the Gemara says, doesn't have to say the decapitated calf. Meaning, we know it's that we already told this it's decapitated. You don't have to say it again. They mamish have to wash their hands over the exact spot where the calf was decapitated. And they say, our hands did not spill this blood, and our eyes did not see it. Do any of us suspect that the Ziknei, or the elders of the city, were the ones who shed the blood? Rather, what it's saying is, we never saw him before, and therefore it's not like he came to us and we let him go without hospitality, without feeding him. And we did not see him and let him venture out without an offer for hospitality. Tanya, Rabbi Meir, Omer, Rabbi Meir used to say, well, it's an amazing idea. Kofin levia, we force a person to escort his guests out. Well, says the halacha of levia, which means when you have guests in your home, you have to escort them out of the house as part of Hakhnasas Arka. So we force someone to be malava, to escort another, to escort their guest. Why? Sheshcha levia ein lo shir. Because Rabbi said the reward given for escorting your guests out is immeasurable. Shuna emar, vayiru hashomrim ish yotzei min ha'ir, vayomru lo, they said to him, hareinu na es mavo ha'ir, vasinu imcha chesed. Rabbi says, this is in Sefer Yehoshua. This is where ultimately again, excuse me, in Shoftim, I'm sorry, where the people are looking for an entrance way ultimately into the city. They see a certain Gentile, non-Jewish individual, and they tell him, show us how to get into the city. And they tell him that if you go ahead and you let us into the city, we will do chesed for you. So what happened? So and the man showed them how to get into the city. Uma chesed asu imo. And they will say, so what chesed did the Jewish people do with this individual? Shekolo sa'ir hago salafi charef. Because also they killed out all of the inhabitants of that city. Va'osa ishu mishpachto shalchu. But that man and his family were spared. Va'yelech ish eretz achitim. Va'yiven er. Va'yikra shmalos. Well, so what does that guy do? This is amazing. What does this spared individual do? He goes to the land of the Chitim, and he built a city called Luz. And the Gemara says, Hishma Adayam Azeh, Luz is still in existence to this very day, the Gemara says. And listen to this, Tanya, he Luz Shetzovin Batcheles. Luz is a very important city, because it wasn't the city of Luz that they used to dye the Tcheles. He Luz Shebas Sancheirev Elo Bilbola, Nebuchadnezzar Elo Echriva. Luz was the one city that was not touched by Sancheirev and was not touched by Nebuchadnezzar. And get ready for this, we'll say, V'af Malach HaMavis Ein Lo Rishos La'avarba. Even the Malach HaMavis has no rights within the city of Luz. I say, how do people die? Ela Zekinim Shebab Bizman Shedaiten Kotza Lehen. But when the elderly are finished living, I will say this actually is a very powerful Gemara on a variety of levels, on a most basic level, from an ethical perspective, that there is a time where people have the right to say, I don't want to live anymore. So there is this parsha, there is this time in life, I don't mean actively ending one's life, there is this concept that a person could reach a point where they feel they've lived enough, and whatever the circumstances, they're done. So what happened to the Zekanim and Luz? Yotzin chutz l'choma v'hein mason. It will say, because the Malach HaMavis was not allowed in the city of Luz, therefore if you lived in Luz and you wanted to die, what did you have to do? You had to walk out of the city. It will say, this Canaanite man, who didn't do anything, right? He didn't speak any words, he didn't escort them anywhere, but rather he just pointed them in a particular direction. Yet it caused salvation for him and his offspring forever. Misha osa levia beraglav, someone who actively escorts his guests, alachas kama v'kama. All the more so, we'll say how much schar there is. B'meher lahem, so we'll say, how did this Kenani show the spies how to get into the city? So the Gemara says, Chizkiya amar befim akam. So Chizkiya says that he mouthed instructions without actually allowing his voice to be audible. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Be'etzbo Her Elohim. Rabbi Yochanan says he showed them with his finger. So Tanya Kavah said, Rabbi Yochanan Bishul Sheknani Zeher Be'etzbo Karam Hatzalolu Zaroa Sof Koladora. So we'll say the Brisa needs to support Rabbi Yochanan, because the Brisa says, because this Kenani showed the Meraglim with his finger where exactly to go, therefore the Maisi caused salvation for himself and future generations. Amnon Yishab and Levi, Hamas Halech Badach Ve'inlo Leviya. We'll say, if somebody is walking on the road and there's no one there to escort him, Yasok B'Torah, he shall learn Torah. In other words, we'll see that there's a power to Leviya, to escorting someone, that it provides a shmira, provides a certain protection. So the Gemara says, if you don't have that protection, learn Torah. Literally, it is an accompaniment of chin, of charm for your head, and necklaces around your neck. The idea is that Torah is protection. So because of the four steps that Paro escorted Avraham when he kicked him out of Mitzrayim, Shine Emar, Baitzav Alav Paro Anoshim, Nishtabit Bebanov Arba Meos Shana. Shine Emar Vaabdum Vinu Osam Arba Meos Shana. Both say incredible Gemara. That Paro, this is Paro when he kicked Avram Avinu out. When he kicked Avram Avinu out, he escorted him four steps. Because of those four steps, Paro's offspring, Paro's descendants, had power over Klal Yisrael for 400 years. So we'll say, so the Marsha just very quickly comments on this. He says, Hashibud vade lo hayu bishil zeh. V'chima pas avram shalivua, pesh avram shalivua, ela shibud nigzar v'gzir espin absarim, v'yusha shalom ma'adeh, ela shlo zachar shem etzal yu mishubadim. We'll say, the idea that Marsha says is, it doesn't mean that Avram Avinu didn't do anything wrong. What it means is that Egyptian slavery was already decreed. What happened was, slavery was decreed already during the Bris Ben Absarim. What was not decreed was what? Who was going to enslave Klal Yisrael? Because Paro did this mitzvah of Leviya, his nation was given the power to overcome Klal Yisrael. So Rabbi Yehuda said, Rav, anyone who escorts his friend, Dalet Amos in the city, is not harmed. Now both say, now Eino Nizok refers to the person being escorted. The idea is that if you escort someone, it's actually beautiful. The Marsha says, if you take the time to escort someone, what you're saying is, Ribono Shel Olam, I care about this person enough to take time out of my life, to leave the comfort of my home, to escort them. That's how chashev they are. If this person is chashev to me, important to me, and I'm a basar of Adam, all how much more say that they must be chashev to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore watch out for them on their journey. Ravina, Ilavi the Rabbi Bar Yitzchak, Talal Amos Be'ir. So Ravina escorted Rabbi Bar Yitzchak for Amos in the city. Matali Adei Hazeka Ve'itzil. And he was faced with a dangerous situation. And Rabbi Bar Yitzchak was in a dangerous situation. And what happened? And he was saved. And they attributed the salvation to the fact that ultimately, again, Ravina escorted him. Ten Rabban and Harav La Talmud Adibura Shalir. Vosai Arav. A rav for his Talmud goes ahead and escorts him until the boundary of the city, chaver lechaver at chum Shabbos. Right, literally one friend for another, although the Marsha says this means one Talmud chacham for another Talmud chacham, they escort each other until the edge of the tchum. So Talmud lerav, what about a Talmud for his Rebbe? Ein lo shir. If I say Talmud for his Rebbe has to escort his Rebbe as far as possible, the kama, if I say ein lo shir, what does that mean? So Amar Rav Sheshes ad parsa. A very far distance. V'lo amar el rabo shena mufak. Bosei, that's something about your Rebbe, who's not Rebbe Mufak, meaning Bosei, Rebbe Mufak means Rabbo Shlom Derov Chachmosa, the Rebbe who taught you the majority of your wisdom. Ava Rabbo Mufak, Shlosha Parsos. Bosei, for your primary Rebbe, what we call your Rabbo Mufak, even three Parsos. Rev Kahana, you love it, Rev Singh, but Hashim, Ipumara, Ad Beit Sinise, the Bavel. So we'll say, Rav Kahana escorted Rav Simba Ashi literally from Pum Naro until Beit Sinisi. These are places in Bava, long distance. Kimatu Hasan, when they came to Beit Sinisi, Amrlei, Vadai de Amrisu Hani Sinisi de Bava, Mishnei Adam Arishon Isnu. I have heard that they say that these palm trees in Beit Sinisi, these palm trees are from the times of Adam Arishon. So Amrlei said to him, It karton milsu. You just reminded me of something. What's the meaning of the pasuk be'aretz lo avar ba ish v'lo yashav adam sham? What's the meaning of the pasuk when it says the land that no man passed and no man settled there? V'chi mi'achar shelo avar heichan yashav? Rabbi say obviously if no one ever passed there, certainly no one ever settled there. Ela eretz shegazar aleha adam rishon yishuv nisyashva. Eretz shelo gazar aleha adam rishon lo nisyashva. Rabbi say a very incredible idea. Adam rishon decreed parts of the earth would be inhabited, and which parts of the earth would not be inhabited. Therefore, again, Any place Adam Rishon decreed has never been inhabited to this day. Any place that he has decreed has become inhabited. Rav Mordechai Ilavi, Rav Ashi, Magronya, Va'ad Bekipi. So Rav Mordechai escorted Rav Ashi from Hagronya until Bekipi. Va'amrile Ad Beidura. Others say all the way to Beidura. Amr Rabbi Yochanan Mishra, we'll say a very long distance. Amr Rabbi Yochanan Mishra, Meir, Koshin Malave, Umislave, Kilushofech Damim. We'll say whoever does not escort or is not escorted by someone else, it's as if they're shofech dam, as if, God forbid, they spill blood. In other words, it's another way of saying bad things happen when you don't escort and not escort. We actually just study this in the Navi Shir, because had the people of Yericho escorted Elisha, Elisha would not have brought the bears against the Tinoko. What does this mean? Elisha's leaving Yericho. This is after Eliyahu HaNavi died, and Elisha's the new Navi. He came up from Beit El, v'hu Allah b'derech, and he's coming up the road. Unarim kitanim yotzu min ha'ir, and these literally narim kitanim means young boys came up from the city. Va'iskal subo, they began to curse him. Va'yomru lo, they said to Elisha, alei kerech, get out of here, baldy. And Pashup Shat said Elisha was bald. Get out of here, baldy. Amru lo, amru lo, alei shekrachta alinu as hamakom. So they were angry at him. Why? Well, say, remember what happened in Yericho. What happened actually right outside of Yericho was there was a place where the waters were bitter. Elisha performed a miracle and made the waters sweet. So wonderful. Except for one problem. These young men made their living by bringing in water. So now what? By bringing in potable water. So what happened? Now Elisha took away their parnasa. But say, you know, people could be as sweet as can be until you touch their parnasa. Right? The moment you touch my wallet, then suddenly, again, different conversation. So they're literally cursing Elisha. What does it mean they were narim? My narim uktanim. Amar Belazer sheminu arim min ha-mitzvos. Literally, they were empty from any kind of mitzvah. Kitanim, what does it mean they were little? Shayu miktani emuna. The Jabot say again, they were small in their faith. Tana na'arim hayu, they were na'arim ubizbizu asman kiktanim. And they literally divested themselves of all kidusha like children. Maskif l'Rav Yosef v'dilma ashem ekoman. Maybe they were called na'arim because of their place. Milo ksiv, does it not say, va'arim yatsu gidudim, va'yeshu me'eret Yisrael na'ara kitana, v'kashilon. Nara ukitana. Why does the pasuk have to say a double oshlam nara and kitana? But Rabbi Pidas demin nuurin. So because nara kitana means they were from the place of nuurin. Hasam lo. So why don't you say over here that narim kitana also means that they were the place from nuurin? To which the Gemara says hasam lo mefarish mekoma hacham mefarish mekoman. Because we'll say in that pasuk the Torah does not, the Navi does not make any mention of the place of origin. Here the Torah, the Navi says that these na'arim kitanim, these young men, were from the city of Beit El. Vayif and Achara Vayir Vaykalim Vashem Hashem. So Elisha looked behind them, he saw them and he cursed them in the name of God. Ma ra'a, what did he see? Amarav ra'a mamish. Ra'a mamish. It just means literally that he saw them. Wherever the Chachamim placed their eyes, there are either one of two, meaning place their eyes means a negative gazing. There are two repercussions, either death or poverty. This is amazing. So Elisha saw that all of them were conceived on the night of Yom Kippur, a time when relations are prohibited. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Amar Beluris Ra'abahen Kamaroim. They had a Beluris. Rabbi said Beluris is like the ponytail. It was a haircut of the Gentiles. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ra'ash Lo Hayuban Lachluchis Shal Mitzvah. He saw that literally they didn't even have like a little bit of mitzvah, a little bit of kedusha. I v'dilma bizar I who neavi hava. Maybe even if they didn't possess kedusha, their offspring would. Amar Rabbi Lazar Lo Bam. Neither they nor their offspring for all generations possess any kedusha. That is what Elisha saw in them. But say, bottom line, the Gemara is trying to tell us is that had Elisha had company, had Elisha been accompanied by the people of Yericho, it could be that this tragedy would have been avoided, but unfortunately it was not. Bottom line, Rabosei is ultimately part of Achnasas Orchim is being melave, is escorting our guests out. And the Marashah again says, it makes an incredible thing to the Ribono Shel. If I care enough about this person to be melave them, to escort them, then you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should care about them as well and watch over them in their journey. Shkayach Abosai. All right, we'll stop over here. Mirat Hashem, the daf is tomorrow afternoon. Check, I think it's 3:25.